Are you serious?
Hello, this is How to Kill an Hour. My name is Marcus Bronzy. There's plenty of ways to kill some time out there. Thank you in advance for killing some time with us. On today's show, I'm joined by a presenter on Radio 1 Extra, on the TV, and also, most recently, been kicking ass with military experts in some part of the world. Hello, Yasmin Evans. How you doing? You're right.
Hello, Marcus. That was very official intro.
That's about as professional as it gets. That's all out the window
now.
Yeah,
exactly. Good.
Let's look at the date. 1st of May 2020. How is lockdown life treating you?
Lockdown life is actually not too dissimilar from my regular life. Because I'm such a hermit. I really enjoy my own company. I think that I'm funny. I think I'm great. but lockdown life is interesting. It's been really interesting. I think it's been a great time for me to kind of like get to know myself a little bit more. I live by myself, so it does get kind of lonely, self-isolating. I really do miss my friends. I miss my family a lot, but I actually live away from my family. My family live up north, so like I'm actually used to being away from them for long periods of time. But like not being around my friends and not kind of like just enjoying people's company has been quite hard. But I'm quite lucky that I still get to go into the studio, do my show. So I've got some format there.
Yeah. So what's been the situation with radio? Like, how's your audience changed during lockdown?
Oh my God. My audience has changed so much. Although, yeah, I think they're just way more interactive.
Yeah.
And I've tried to be way more interactive with them. Like, I'm not really like, I do like social media. I enjoy social media in the way that I use social media. But now I've kind of just been like trying to be a bit more present. Like, I'm all about like energy and good vibes. And I just wanted to kind of like keep everyone pushing through. If I feel like I'm helping people, that's helping me. So it's been great. The listeners have been amazing. We kind of renamed my show to Good Vibes Radio. No offense to One Extra, like it's it's been put on chill for a bit. So now we've got this whole Good Vibes Radio family, and like to see people like connecting and saying, like, we use this little purple emoji because I just feel like that's like purple is the color of royalty, it's good vibes, it's also like the color of amethyst, so it kind of beats away all the negative. And and people use it on Instagram and Twitter, and it's just wicked. Like, my listeners are great.
Sick. That's good to hear. Good Vibes Radio. I like that.
Yeah,
packs full of good vibes, obviously, which is very necessary at this time. I don't want to put extra pressure on you and other radio presenters, but you're like some people's only form of social interaction right now, you know? That it's quite deep.
And at the beginning of the lockdown, like, I knew that, but I also had to like think of myself a little bit. So I had to just readjust at the beginning of like the quarantine, because I was just kind of like about feeling safe and going into the studio and making sure that I was okay, and how I mentally was going to apply myself to this situation. Because I'm all about the mental side and energy, like if I get knocked, for me, I'm quite sensitive to it. So I was like, right, I just need to figure out how I'm gonna maneuver. And then once I realized that I actually need this as much as they do.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how I kind of like was like, okay, let's just get on with it.
Exactly. I can't lie. What I did while I was doing a little bit of catch up research on you, I did see some of your mask game. Your mask game is looking on point, you know, Yaz. That is a seriously heavy duty mask that you got on. Your mask. You know the mask that you wear in your face?
It's my mask.
A mask. That's what I said.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going
to. I was like, what mask?
Mask.
Mask. That. So for me, my old producer, Leanne, she is so great. She
I've just whipped up a picture and shown it to Yasmin. It's you'll talk us through what we're seeing.
Yeah, that's so I saw like an official photograph of like the different levels of masks and how they were gonna protect you from the current coronavirus. And this one was number one.
Yeah.
I was buzzing.
Yeah, she's got, it's this grey one. It's got a thing over the nose, which looks like it squishes onto your nose properly and tight.
Yeah, so it's got a safety there, and it's also got a valve for breathing so you don't feel claustrophobic. It's washable, so you can wash it. And yeah.
What happens if you turn off the valve? Can you breathe anymore?
No, you can't. You can turn off the valve. I was going to just go. I feel like I look like Bane from Batman.
Yes, it's Jasmine Evans on Good Vibes Radio. But yeah, man. And also, you're into your fitness. Crazy. Like, I know you're into your fitness. You put it on your social media and you're into your good eating as well. You are a practicing vegan. So, are you being. All right, showing off that now she can just whip her leg over her shoulder. She's still loose.
I'm still in the leggings. No, what happened was I forgot I was doing the podcast and Marcus phoned me and I was like, in the middle of burpees, I was like, shit, I'm coming on now.
Yeah, let me just finish this workout. But yeah, how are you working out now during this kind of self-isolation period? And also, how's the cooking going down?
Oh, well, we'll get to that, Marcus. Mm. I'll send you some recipes if you want. I mean, for anyone that doesn't know me, like, I just love food. I love food. I am obsessed with food. Mm. Food is everything to me. So, and exercise is actually everything to me as well. But like, I would say like I'm in love with food, like obsessed. And I am in love with exercise, but I think with everyone, it's a love-hate relationship. I seem to be exercising way more than I was prior to this. I don't know about anyone else, but it's like the other day I sat on my sofa and I was like, I felt like such a slob. I was like, I'm just going to get up and stretch out and lift some weights, bro. When I started to get into the fitness game, I was doing the breakfast show and like my day started really, really early and it finished like at 10 and I just never had things to do until like later on in the day. So it's like I need some form of structure. So I'd go to the gym. So for me, the gym is all about giving myself some structure in my day. Also, it gives me a chance to like switch off. Like when I could go out to the gym out there, like I would not answer any phone calls, not answer any emails, not stay on my phone looking at Instagram. Like, this is a bit wanky, but I even put in my diary, like, gym, so that there was nothing that I could book in the morning or in the evening. Like, that is my time and me. And, like, it's not about, like, losing weight. It's just about me being healthy. Like, physical fitness for me enables me to also have a healthy, clear mind. Mm. So I've really been trying to keep that up, hence why I'm doing way more now, because I feel like I just need my mind to be a lot more clearer and I'm loving it. And plus the people, I log on to Instagram Lives and the people that do them, shout out to Kira London and Was London, are so amazing. And they've got like a little community and it's like, it's really nice. Like I see my friends from Manchester in there. So yeah, I'm all about the fitness right now during quarantine, but it's not for everyone. And do you know what? Some days don't have to do it.
Yeah. Sometimes the biscuits are calling. I'm not going to lie. That's most days for me at the moment.
The biscuits call every day. You've got muscles. Come on. Let's not deny it.
You know what, Yaz? I was doing all right before lockdown, but I hurt my shoulder, unfortunately. So I've not even been strong enough to do press up. So I've been doing little baby weights, little 1 kilogram weights and stuff like that on my shoulder.
It's better than nothing.
It is indeed. Going for my walks as well, because I'm not really a good runner either. But I'm out there. I'm out there trying a bit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, come on.
The guns are still there, Yaz. But what about the food side of things? Because, Yaz, man, you are like, last time we met, well, every time I see you in person, I'm like, you got any recipes? Like, what should I eat? Do-do-do-do-do. So how are you doing lockdown veganism and also whipping up?
It's so, like, when people ask me, like, oh, you cook so much, like, send me a recipe. I'm like, okay, but what do you want to eat? Like, I could send you cheese on toast or like beans on toast. That's a recipe. Like, what do you want? What do you want from me? I actually have like really tried to be a little bit more active in supporting small businesses in terms of like food. And there's a website that was made called lockdownlocals.com. Mm. And this guy just made it, and he just made this website and puts loads of links to loads of people who are small businesses that aren't running anymore that are providing food for people, mm-hmm, to make their money because they can't sell whatever it is. And it's brilliant. They obviously go to like wholesalers and, you know, they deliver straight to your doorstep and leave stuff on your doorstep, fresh fruit and vegetables. I'm quite lucky that I've got a grocery near me, so like fresh fruit and veg. Like, I've not been going to the big supermarkets, although the other day I did treat myself and go to M&S.
Ooh.
That's a treat. That's a treat in general, not even these days during lockdowns. So I went to M&S, boy. Right. And so I've just been like, as much as I say that exercise is also like a clearing of mind. Like, my kitchen is therapy to me. Mm. Like, if someone told me that I could not go into the kitchen, I would have the breakdown. Like, being in the kitchen, like, switching off and just cooking is everything to me. Like, I grew up in the kitchen. My mum cooked a lot. My granny cooked a lot on my Jamaican side. Like, food is an expression for me.
Yeah.
It's an expression of love. It's an expression of, you know, if you're stressed out or, like, you're moody and, like, honestly, like, what you eat is an expression of how you feel, like, if you are cooking in the kitchen, 100%. And it can switch your mood like that. Mm. So I've been coping really well during this quarantine. I've been eating everything.
Nice.
Everything. I love it. Like, I'll give myself a 3-course meal and a candlelit dinner every night.
That's self-love. Have you done a Zoom dinner yet with other people? Because it's great. Because if you do a Zoom dinner, you know you're going to like the food because it's yours. And, like, no one's going to eat the stuff that you like the most. You know when you've got to be polite and you've got people over for dinner and you're like, yeah, you can take the rest of those potatoes. I'm usually...
polite. Polite when it comes to food. No. Never. Also, this is going to sound so bad, but I don't really go around to my friend's house for dinner because they all come to mine. But it's because, like, I just make the better food.
So what? You're telling me your friends do you want to come over for food next week? And you're like, do you know what? Tuesday's a good day for me, but how about you just come to mine because I cook better? Real talk.
It doesn't go exactly like that, but my friends will tell you, like, I am the one that will host, like, the dinner parties more because I, and also, like I said, it's an expression of love, and I'm very much like, oh, come round, I want to cook for you. I want to, like, it's basically like, I want to love on you. Like, let's eat together. Mm. If I do go around to a friend's house, I'll probably bring, like, something. Like, I'll probably make something and, like, bring it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to think that who could, or, like, we'd cook together.
Okay.
So they could be my sous chef.
So you come and run their house, basically.
Yeah. But we did do, like, a brunch Zoom the other day.
Yeah.
I don't even know. Maybe a few weeks ago now. I don't even know the time. And it was, like, a bottomless brunch. Wow.
How bottomless did you go?
I don't know why.
I mean, you can literally go bottomless as well. You can go bottomless because it's a Zoom thing.
I didn't go bottomless.
So you can roll bottomless. You mean right now, you don't know, Yaz, if I get up.
Please.
Yeah, anyway.
Save it for later. No, it wasn't. It wasn't. Although that would be quite funny. It got I had a family FaceTime booked in for 6 o'clock. I was passed out drunk.
Missed it. Nice.
At 6 p.m. Missed it. I was missing. I made, like, margaritas.
Mm. That's tequila, right?
In the afternoon. Yeah, so it was like, so I make a picante, which is chili, coriander, lime juice, agave, and reposado tequila.
A reposado tequila.
Patron.
Patron. Mm-hmm. Okay. Puts my little vodka martini to shame that I like to have in my little fancy glass. Don't.
Vodka martinis are alright, especially if you put them in a fancy glass. It doesn't matter if they taste shit.
Just kidding. Also, you've been raving as well. Like, I've seen a couple of little Instagram raves. I've been to a couple. I can't lie. Zoom raving is the new way forward at the moment as well, apparently.
Yeah, I haven't been to a Zoom rave yet. I've definitely logged onto social media and done, like, a live stream.
Yeah.
In the first few weeks, I felt like I was going out constantly at the weekend, like, drinking. Me and my friend had, like, a wild night once, and we stayed up until, like, 4 a.m. I bought myself a little disco ball from online, and I put it on, and I was like, "Woo, I thought I was in the club." Mm-hmm. I was like, "Bottles on me." But I think I went a little bit too crazy in the first few weeks, so I've kind of knocked that on the head. And I've just been getting, like, a lot of sleep actually recently. Mm. So yeah, you never know, like, might log into one tonight.
Might have a little vibe, do a little Friday night special. Also, Yaz, before we get on to talking about SAS Who Dares Wins celebrity version, where basically, man, I can't wait to talk about that because it's a very amazing this year. But you made a very good point before I slapped record today. I, as a man, am guilty, as many men are across the UK, at grossly underestimating the amount of upkeep it takes to make us look fresh. Because right now, I am feeling, I've not been this fluffy for a long time. I've got a beard.
You look like this.
I look like a microphone. Yeah, I just picked up the mic.
You look like
I do
that.
Look like a microphone. Yeah, man. Yeah, man. I'm a little bit jealous, like, because I always thought that women, and it is a genuine misconception that women need a lot more upkeep than men, or require a lot more upkeep through their own preference, yeah? I'm not saying that women should. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, you know, going on, putting the war paint on, getting all did up and stuff. But as a man, I'm feeling like it's much harder for me to pull off a fresh look than it is a woman right now.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I didn't realise how... because I think I spoke to Reese Parkinson once, a fellow One Extra broadcaster, yeah, and he was like, I have to get a shape up weekly.
Yeah.
It's important. I have to get a So I get it. I know that the little thing needs to be lined up, especially if, like, you're receding and stuff. You've got a very strong hairline. And that was not no shade to Reese Parkinson.
Is he a bit soft on the edges? It happens. It's all right. It's a luck of the draw.
I think he was saying something about it once. That's not just, like, throw him under the bus.
It's all right, man. When we can travel again, he can take a quick trip to Turkey. Until then, he can just slap a hat on. It's all right.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all right. It means you've got a high testosterone level.
Go for it.
It means you've got a high T level. It means you're extra manly man. Oh, apparently, I heard that the other day. Yeah.
You tell him that. So I'm just seeing, like, these guys. I'm like, oh, is it? Okay, there's way more upkeep from you guys than there is for us. I can actually do my hair. Yeah. I've got braids in right now, and I did this myself. And the only thing is that my eyebrows are getting a bit wild. I don't know if you can see that.
A little bit, but, like, man, like, yeah. I look like...
But we make it where we just brush them up.
Yeah, you're like women I'm seeing, they're, like, doing all the glow up challenge and that. I'm like, yeah, you look good. I can't, there's nothing I can do. I can't do the self-barbering either, because I've tried that once in my life. I'm never going to do that again. My hair is hard to cut. Barbers say that. Mm. So, yeah.
Apparently. Is it tough?
No, it's not just not physically hard. It's just, like, it grows. It has different... I've got, like, a cow's lick, and I've got, like, you know...
Oh, yeah, you've got loads of different textures going in there.
Yeah.
A friend of mine did a YouTube tutorial. Shout out to Broderick Hunter. Yeah. He did a YouTube tutorial on how... He's been cutting his hair for, like, 15 years. Mm. He's given himself a fade, and everyone's been following it. So maybe you should try that. Are you too scared?
What if
it goes wrong, can't you just shave it off? Can't you shave it off?
I walk around looking like I'm ill. No, I'm all right. If I cut all my hair off, I don't look very well. I'm not doing that.
It will grow back. We've got, like, weeks left of quarantine. Listen,
yeah.
We have weeks left of quarantine. Like, these people that have had high tops, yeah, they should have thought, shave off my high top, because now this high top is wild. Coming, like, flipping... I don't know, Duck and Waffle Tower. Like, it's a lot. Hair and Tower up here.
House Party 1. Right, so, Yaz, thanks for the update. Actually, before we press play on the trailer for SAS Who Dares Wins, kit-wise, what are you doing your home setup with? Because this is a tech podcast in essence, and we've been talking about home setups here and there. So you've got a mic, you've got your own microphone there. You've got some quite nice headphones, if you don't mind me seeing myself. But yeah, what are you working with?
Matching. So I have a Samsung... Q2U.
That's right. Yeah, the USB mic. Yeah.
Yeah.
And XLR.
Yeah. Is it good?
So, you know what? It's it was about 50 quid before lockdown. Now they're online for about 100 quid and they're sold out everywhere. So yeah, the Samsung Q2U.
Oh,
very good mic. Very good bang for your buck.
Yeah, I bought two of them. I bought two of them because I actually need to holler you, Marcus, because honestly, podcast, not my bag. So I bought two ages ago and I paid about 50 quid for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got my Sennheiser headphones.
Yeah, HD25s, I think so, yeah.
Yes, thank you. Yes, thank you, Marcus.
Yeah, like, yeah, okay.
Bought these when I started DJing, like, years ago. These are quite old.
Best thing about these headphones, if you're watching the videos, you can make yourself look like somebody from Star Trek. There you go.
Why do they have that? Is that in case people have massive heads?
It's just if you've got a big head. They've got the headband splits into two pieces, so you can have it. I don't know why people do that, but... Yeah. Oh.
And also, I like this part where it flips up.
You can also flip a headpiece out of the way. So they're quite fancy headphones. So they're quite high-end headphones, actually. Really good sound output as well. But yeah.
Yeah. And I have a ring light just to make sure that the quality of camera is good.
Oi, oi, I didn't know that. Fancy. Turn it off and turn it on again. I want to see the difference.
Oh, it's got different levels as well. So, all right. So this is it off.
Yeah. Cool.
On. And then you can... Oh, you can brighten it.
Sick.
You can change it to blue. like a little, it can make me look like I've got a tan, so that's good.
Nice. Go. I'm going to put links to this in the show description, right? Actually, that's pretty cool. Was that like an Amazon jobby, that light?
Yep, I'll send you the links. Yeah, man. It's not the best, but it will do for now. And it's on a Manfrotto tripod.
There we
which
go.
Which is really good for my Canon GX7.
Oh, you got the Canon GX7? Using that for your vlogging,
yeah.
Yes?
Yeah. Vlogging.
Yes, there we go. All right, Yaz. Anyway, got you on the show to talk about SAS Who Dares Wins. I'm going to ask you about it, but right beforehand, let's play the trailer because I think this kind of lets you know about the level of abuse that we see celebrities get in this show.
SAS selection is a test like no other.
The biggest mistake these celebrities can make is thinking they know what's coming. There's no shortcuts. There's no easy options. They're in for a shock.
In this series...
Stop moving! Come on!
12 celebrity recruits...
Don't see us now! Stand by!
...will leave their glamorous lives behind.
Worst thing's gonna happen, your eyelashes are gonna come off.
That whining, whinging excuse. Buck your f***ing ideas up.
Get in there now!
They'll be put through the most grueling stages of selection.
Quick, sort it out!
By an elite team of ex-Special Forces soldiers.
Go! Go! Let's go!
No allowances or exceptions will be made.
Stand by! Go!
I've got 3.3 million Twitter followers and 1.6 Instagram followers.
They've actually grown.
If these celebrities turn up with an ego...
Move!
They won't last 24 hours.
You taking a piss?
No, sir.
Absolute shambles.
No other test asks as much.
Fold your progression, number 11. You understand me? You should know better.
Or means as much.
Come on. Keep going. Keep going.
Heel toe. Heel toe.
To the few.
Well done.
Who make it through.
Jeez.
Yes.
What are the best ways of explaining the show? Because I just say to people, you see celebrities getting beaten up every episode. But is it fair to say there's a better way of describing SAS Who Dares Win celebrity, right?
Yes, because, well, you don't actually get beaten up. Like, well, you are beaten and battered and bruised.
Yeah.
And you are, you know, roughed up a bit. You are roughed up a bit by the DS, who are the, I don't know, how, another way to describe them, are the Ant Middleton, the people that are shouting at you. Like, people might say sergeants and stuff like that, but they're called the DS in the SAS Armed Forces.
Mm-hmm.
So they call it selection. So selection is it's real life, like... The DS, the people that you see, like Ant Middleton, Jay, Billy, Foxy, they have all done it for years. Like Jay, who is the one of the new DS, Jay Morton, he was more recently has just come out of the SAS. I think he spent like 9 years of his life in selection. And it is intense. It's 24/7. It's like, it's physically challenging. It's emotionally challenging. It's... They are just so brave to have gone through it. So it's very, it was just amazing to be experienced even a fraction. Now, SAS Who Dares Wins, the TV show, is such a condensed version of SAS. Like, there are small little challenges that are big to us, but to them, very small what they had to do in their daily life. Like, they are, I think at one point in the show, I don't know if you'll see this, but I remember... Ant and Billy both saying that between them, they've buried like 70 people like that they knew between the five of them, I think it's five of them, four of them. And I was like, shit, this is mega. Mm. Like, this is a challenge for us, yes. And there are points where you're like, oh yeah, it's a TV show. Of course it's a TV show. You feel like that at the beginning, but then you get into it and your mind switches off from reality. Like, I cannot even tell you. Like, it's really hard for me to explain, but you know, you're in the middle of nowhere on this, it's called Isle of Rassi, which is past the Isle of Skye. It's past Scotland, but it's in the area. And obviously everyone is told that it's going to be filming on there. So everyone's kind of told to like not speak to us. The cameraman can't speak to us when we're filming off set. When we're on, well, not even set, but like away from the camp. When we're in the camp, which is an actual previously armed forces camp, like that, it wasn't just made for the TV show. That is there. It's where they do a lot of the training. So we were very lucky to actually be there because, like, the SAS have actually trained there, like the real SAS. And when you're at the, when you're on camp, you know, you, there's the rig and stuff, so you don't really see the cameras and you just kind of get on with it. And so when you go out to do the challenges and the tasks, you kind of see the directors and the film directors who all have cameras and all running after you. Like, there was one point when one of the team members, like, I was watching him, like, because you can't not notice him at times. And other times, it must be so emotional for them because it's emotional for us. And I was, remember, like, crying my eyes out. And then he's just got to stand there, like, and bless Phil, shout out to Phil, the director. He's done this for years. So I know he's probably got the emotional connection and out of the way. Mm. But I can remember thinking, like, don't you even want to help me? Like, I'm fucking dying here. And there was one point where one of the team, he was also filming, his hand was bleeding, like he'd fallen off the side of a cliff because it's like there's no like safety, like they've got to do the shit that we do. Like when we're on the side of the cliff falling off, they've also got to do the same because they've got to follow us down with the camera. So it's not just dangerous for us and it's dangerous for them as well. It's just wild. It's so crazy. And yeah, so I was on the island. I remember once I saw a woman who wasn't a part of the team and I was like, and I just wanted to run over to her and be like, help! In my head, I was like, she's my escape. And I thought, oh, no, you can't go anywhere. Yeah. Like the amount of times we'd lay there and there was a big house that we could see in the distance. Like if you went up into the tower, you could see this massive house. And we'd sit and we'd like, just imagine like, what would it be like to just run over there? Like what would happen? we honestly started to go crazy.
Yeah. Well, at the moment, us watching it, Yaz, we've just seen episode two here at the time of us recording this. Episode three is about to come out, probably the same night that this podcast drops. So we've seen, I mean, there's a bunch of you in there. It started off with, is it Paralympic athlete Lauren Steadman, Rudimentals, mm-hmm. Locksmith, Anthea Turner, Joey Essex, Helen Skelton, John Fashanu, he's in episode two, did some very interesting stuff, Katie Price and Jack Maynard, and obviously yourself, Brendan Cole. But Nikki Sanderson, now at episode two, Jack has left, Anthea's quit, and yeah. Katie quit as well, and we saw John Fashanu choke out Locksmith.
So
going on there, please?
What people fail to know is that John Fashanu is actually trained in martial arts.
Right.
I don't know if many people know that.
We know it now after seeing that. I'll tell you that for free, Yaz.
And also, don't forget, like, when he's on a pitch, he's just sent to... So same with Tony. Like,
yeah.
Maybe not as much with Lauren. Like, Lauren is competitive in a different way.
Yeah.
Whereas her competitiveness is not physical against anyone else. It's just physical against her. So her patience with aggression was different in terms of the other athletes on the course. And so John and Tony are like, when they get into the ring and when they get onto the pitch, it's aggression. It's like, go for it. So their aggression is very, very different. But yeah, John, we obviously, as you could see, that like, we were all very shocked by what John did. He got Locksmith from Rudimental in a martial arts chokehold where he could have actually broke his neck or suffocated him. Yeah, that was in a game, for just to set up for context, in a game of murder ball, which is where you throw up a tire and there's two opposing teams and, you know, you've each got to get it over to the other side and, you know, one person takes on one person or two on one or, yeah, so that was it. Like, it was one-on-one at that point.
So there was a conversation that struck up when this happened in my groups and I was saying... Okay. Like, when I tend to watch, and it's not just because I know you guys, but when I tend to watch the celebrities getting kind of put through it, I'm on your side because I feel like, oh, you guys, I know you're meant to be kind of beasting them, but you're being unreasonable. Yeah. It's not fair. Like, when I watched that personally, I was like, nah, that's not, they, clearly they would have told them that there were some sort of rules that they had to abide by. In that challenge, did they say to you anything's fair, or do they say to you that you have to control your aggression first, or is it kind of seeing how you react and then them reacting to that?
It's seeing how you control your aggression.
Right.
So they literally, the DS will literally stand and watch, and it's like they're watching a rugby match. They'll be like, go on, get him. So what that challenge is, you know, if you're in a fight and someone's going, fucking knock him out, fucking choke him, what are you going to do? You're going to try and knock him out. You're going to try and choke him.
Yeah.
So it's in your head, you should be figuring out, do I need to knock him out? Do I need to choke him just because someone else has got my aggression all pent up? So that's the thing, is like, they're all shouting and making sure that you are getting way more aggressive. But should you be doing it? It's about turning the aggression on when needs be and then switching it off. So when they say stop, it's a stop. The thing is with me, I love a game. I love to get into stuff. Like, I'm not the best in terms of sports and things like that, but I am actually really good at turning my aggression on and off.
Mm.
It's the emotional side that probably will throw me off sometimes. So when I was, they didn't show this, but when I was in playing Murder Ball, like I was really trying to like, okay, aggression on, aggression off.
Yeah.
Like, but a lot of us struggled with it. And also a lot of us struggled with like the aftermath of, for example, there was a part where Nikki and Helen were at me and it was like, right, number 12, go in. And I had to go in against the two girls. And I was like, right, so I just used my long legs and limbs and I just curled my way into the tire.
Mm.
And I was like, and then one of the girls actually like attacked me in a way where I couldn't breathe. And I was like, fucking bitch. And I was like really angry at it, and then he's like, stop. And I was like, you bitch. And I was really, really going for it, and I was like, I don't actually think she's a bitch.
Yeah
She just, I feel like, you know, there's nothing worse than feeling like someone cheated, but it's not always fair on the pitch of Murder Ball. But it was as you saw it.
The reason it's interesting is because it's the first time in the season that I've seen you guys openly expressing aggression towards each other. So like, there were some the way they edited it, I could see you guys from silent going, hey, fucking prick, get him, da, 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 da. And whilst there was a little bit of that during the fighting challenge, which is something, one of my favorite bits, where they basically just pick a bunch of you and get you to beat each other up, which I don't know why I find that enjoyable. I'm just like, I don't know what's gonna happen. What's gonna happen when they put a world champion in there? And they just said, right, everybody beat up Tony. I was like, phew, okay, because he can't throw a punch, somebody will die.
Thank God they didn't show. There was one-on-one fights happened as well, but they didn't show that.
Shit.
Yeah, it was a lot of that. The one-on-ones were bad.
So during the fighting, we only saw a bit of it, obviously, but you're saying they did quite a few more one-on-ones than we saw, because we only saw like two-on-ones and two-and-twos and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, so we all did we the ones who were ranking themselves a little bit weaker, we all did a one-on-one fight,
okay.
All right. Of us. So it would be like, It was only ever girl on girl and man on man.
Okay.
So yeah, we all had to like punch each other up, basically.
Yeah, Tony looks like a big guy. Is he big in real life? Because he looks
at the time Tony weighed, I think 18, almost 19 stone. He's lost a lot of weight at the moment. He's been running and stuff, but he's a big guy and he's tall.
Yeah.
He's a big guy.
Yeah. And he knows how to throw a punch. So there's also another challenge that's in episode two. The previous challenge you spoke about is in episode one, but this challenge in episode two, another thing which I needed clarification on, because again, I was on your side. Mm-hmm. When they put a hood on your head and dragged you along and kind of got you riled up and then gave you a weapon that they taught you how to fire, and then were like, what are you going to do? Go on, what are you going to do? Da-da-da. And then you had to kind of just react, and you were shooting at a possible target, and then after that challenge, you find out whether or not you behaved in the right way. Whether or not you should have shot that target, basically.
Yeah.
Now, I felt that was a little bit unfair. Watch it. Again, I was on your side. I was like, no, it's not fair. They've not told them what's going to happen. But do they, again, just kind of throw you into the situation, give you a gun and see how you react? And that's really...
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like you learn the necessities and you learn what you need to do in order to stay vigilant, like when you're... Yeah. In that moment, like, so you know how to shoot a gun, you know how to take the safety off, you know who's an ally and who is a enemy, like, so they fill you with the their education in a short time.
Yeah.
Me and Jerry, like, literally me and Jerry every night were like, it's time for school. Let's rehearse. I don't know if it worked that well for me, but yeah. There we go. So in that moment, what happened was, they didn't show this either. It's so crazy, which is actually so great because I feel like that then we have the memories that no one else has seen.
Yeah.
So as we're running up this hill to then sit in a ditch, we had to run up and down, and then we had to crawl, army crawl,
yeah.
And then we had to bear crawl for about, don't even know, the time is so weird. It must have been about 20, 30 minutes. So we're knackered. Then it was like, right, run up. There's this massive ditch in the ground. And at this point, there's still 12, of, no, there's 11 of us because Kate's not here at this point. Mm-hmm. And so we get in this ditch in the ground, which is full of nettles. And a lot of us are like, oh my God. And then the DS is like, shut up, you're hiding. So we're all being quiet. And I think Joey was sat on a rock. And they were all there. And it just goes silent. And we're like, what the fuck is going on? Like, you just never know. Mm. When the things that you're learning are going to pop up, and sometimes they won't. So sometimes you might be thinking, oh my God, is this the point where we've got to jump in the water and climb up the side of a boat? Like,
yeah.
Is this when we've got to walk? Is this when we've got to like carry our body over a tightrope? Like, is this when we've got to climb the ladder over the water? There's loads of different things. You're like, is it? What's going on? And then it was like, right, one of you out. And everyone just looked at each other and I was like, fuck, it's going to have to be me. You know, you just know it's me. Like, you know, you're like, I'm going to have to do this first.
Yeah.
So I jumped out and he's like, number 12, run. So it's like, run to the DS. And all of a sudden, bag on your head. And you're like, what? You can't see a thing. You cannot see a thing. Then all of a sudden you hear shooting. Sounds like a bomb. They throw water on you. Then you're up against the wall. And then like, you're with Billy. Well, I was with Billy. And he was like, took the bag off my head. He just lifted it up like that. And he was like, we're being kidnapped. Follow me. So I'm like, the fuck? So I'm like, being kidnapped. I run with him and like under this rock all the, and then he's like, bag on your head, and he's like, right, they've captured us. And I'm like, fucking hell, how have it? But it's obviously the DS.
Yeah.
And then they drag you, and that you're dragging, your knees are hitting the rocks, and you're like, you can't get yourself together, and you're like, this is fucking awful. They're really dragging you, like proper, like all, what, like 10 stone of me, like dragging me across the floor. And then you feel them shove a gun in your hand, and then you're holding this gun, but you can't see. They take the hood off, and there's this long, like, hallway, and there's loads of smoke, and he shout, like, they are screaming in your ear, go on, kill him! Ah! Like, screaming, you're like, oh, I've got to kill him. This is another thing where it's like, you're being told to kill, but, like, focus. And I was like,
then you saw you in slow motion. You pulled the trigger. Yeah, you kept your finger on the trigger. You weren't like pop, this. Pop. You were like da 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 da. Reload.
You know, this is not the same at all.
Yeah.
But you know when you're playing a game console and like you're really into it, and you might have got to like a certain level and you're fully into it. And it's a shooting game. It's like a zombie shooting game.
Yeah.
And you're like, just fucking go for it. Or like when you play Laser Quest and you're like, bah, 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 bah. You're like, oh. It's the initial, and that's what they were trying to make you realize, is that your initial reaction isn't always a correct reaction. And think about it. You've got a couple of seconds that you can actually think about it, but you're so scared. I'm like, nah, I'm going to die in those couple of seconds. He's running at me with a gun.
Yeah, that was insane, man. Like, I feel like, so basically they have full license to professionally fuck with your head, because it's like at certain points you have to follow what they do word for word, and then all of a sudden you're thrown into a situation where you have to kind of just react. So I feel like that would screw with me. And then further to the point, at some point in every season, each of the people that are part of the show get broken down at some point. Now, we've not seen this happen with you yet, and I presume we do see them bring you into a room, they go over some of the research that they have, and they really get into your head. What is that like, knowing that during the day these guys have got physically exhausting you, and then they get you into a room and you know they're going to try and break you down, and they do it? I mean, obviously I know that's to come, hopefully we'll see that on the show, but how was that, Yaz?
I'm a very, very closed off person. Like, I don't trust very easily, and I'm suspicious of a lot of people, probably when I don't need to be. So I don't ever give freely information that I feel like can be used against me. I can be like two different sides of the coin. Like, I could talk to you and get to know you and feel your energy, and then all of a sudden I'm like, brrr, like,
that's yes, shooting a gun at you, basically. Yes, says she'll shoot you, basically.
No, like words coming out.
Yeah, I hear that.
There was one point in the show, it was actually a part of last week's episode, but you don't get to see it. Myself and Joey had like a real nice, like, intimate moment of speaking about people who have passed in our lives. And like, I just connected with Joey's energy and I felt okay to talk to him about that. Whereas when I go into the mirror room, and you'll probably see this a lot, like, I don't, you'll probably have noticed my face is very like, a lot of people are like, you got resting bitch face, but it wasn't. I was just very, I'm a teacher's pet. So it doesn't matter what situation I'm in, whether I'm with friends or family, like, and we're addressing people, I'm going to do as I'm told. And my head is always held high. So I'm always like, chin to the sky, shoulders back. Like, you will not hear like me go, oh, or like, oh, like, it just wasn't in me. Like, I was like, there's no way that they can call me out on anything. So when I go into the mirror room, I'm very much like, you're not getting it. You're just not getting it. Like, you're not getting it out of me. Like, I can speak about myself easy, but like anything else, you just, so, and it almost came like a bit of a stubborn game. And the thing is, I'm not really Googleable either. So anything that you want to dig up about me personally, you ain't going to find on Google. So like, as soon as you Google my name, you're just going to see radio or maybe a hair tutorial and stuff. So I was like, you ain't got shit. Mm, yeah.
My G. Nice. So, all right. Well, I look forward to them trying to get into you. It's cause you get to, cause it's quite, I mean, with John Fashanu, like, because we're, even our generation, yeah, is like, it's quite a long time ago that he was at the peak of his kind of celebrity, yeah, being a footballer. Yeah. So you kind of forget the scandal, for want of a better set of words, that he was involved in, and the unfortunate situation that happened with his brother. So when you kind of see people in the mirror room and they're having these conversations, you kind of get to see. I mean, from John, it was like, I feel like he's accepted the situation to a degree. Like, you can see it's not something that breaks him down every day, but it was like to see that conversation happen and to see the guys,
it was
like
Ant
and the team have that conversation. It was, I was just like, this is,
and it's, also it's they're crazy, not, they're obviously not therapists.
No,
so,
they're not. Yeah.
And their approach to things are aggressive. And so, and also they're not our mates. They're our teammates, but they're not our mates. The DS aren't our mates. So, you know, to obviously address that situation and speak to him about it. I think it was a hard watch for a lot of people. What I knew about John's brother.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, it was something that I just knew about in the press and things like that. But what was funny is that there was obviously way more people within our selection in our group that had suffered or had experience, probably a better word, experience from someone's passing, being that they had taken their own life, which was quite amazing to see. You know, me and Joey had a conversation about it. Both of us have experienced it with members of the family. Then John, obviously, we didn't actually get a chance, and I didn't actually get a chance to speak to John on that level. It's very hard to kind of have those real intimate moments. You have to be like very selective. You know, you're knackered every day, you just want to go to bed. But there are moments where I think people are going to see, you know, some of us unearth certain things, and then there's going to be moments where you're not going to hear the unearthing of what they've experienced, but you're going to see it through their emotional sort of aspect. And I think a lot of people are expecting that from Tony as well.
Yeah, I'm at this point watching it, I don't know Tony personally, and I'm not the biggest boxing fan, but he looks like there's a lot to be said, and there's a lot that he needs to get off his chest at the time of watching it. Like, again, in the group, everybody was just like, wow, like Tony's gone through some shit, like, we and you know, it's going to be interesting to see where we go with it, because he's a big bloke, and you look at him, you think big, he must be strong emotionally as well as being strong physically, but he says it himself, like he's got his own downfalls when it comes to controlling his emotions and such.
Yeah, for sure. Like, but he is like, I left that. I said this in an interview, and I was like, and it got quoted in the press that Yasmin said that Locksmith was her soulmate, and I did actually say that.
Yeah.
But what I meant was, obviously, that newspaper will not get a shout out from me, but obviously that was the headline from them. It was like, you have these. Like, I have never experienced these emotional connections in my entire life. And I'm a very emotional energy, like I've mentioned a zillion times. And so whether that was reflected or not, I don't know. But like, I know that they will agree. Like, there was moments where I did look at Locksmith and I was like, I could fucking marry you right now. Like, in that moment, he is my soulmate, and you will... I'm really looking forward to them seeing that in the third episode. Like, I think the third episode is when you're going to see a lot from a lot of people, including myself. Like, there's a lot, like, a lot of our relationships change in there. Like, it gets, the third episode is when it gets emotional. Like, it goes up a notch, and it's going to be a tough one for me to watch, for sure. Probably because I had a concussion, don't bloody remember anything, but yeah.
Whoa, really? For people that have not had a concussion before, can you just describe how a concussion is not like in the movies, where, you know, in the movies someone gets knocked out and they go, oh, anyway, let's go get something to eat. I'm like, no, that's not how it works, mate.
Hold on, relax. So I got a very, very mild concussion, and I think it actually was during Murder Ball, and... because everything is so fast paced in there, and honestly, you could have like a concussion and you're like, right, okay, no, we need to focus on. So it is kind of like the movie situation. But so I got in the car and I was with Nikki and Tony, and they were talking about something, and I was like, what? I was like, what do you mean? And they're like, oh, you know, when we were walking through the mud. So on the, you'll see in episode 2, if you watch back, like on the way to Murder Ball, we're kind of walking through this mud, then everyone's falling, and it's like, it was basically sinking sand, but mud. Everyone was losing their boots and blah, blah. And I was like, no idea what you're talking about. And Nikki was like, yeah, on the way to Murder Ball. And then Tony was like, oh, look at me. Obviously he has experience from concussion. He's had about 1,000 of them. And he's like, your pupils are really quite dilated. He's like, I think you might have concussion. And I was like, shit. Then he was kind of like asking me, someone asked me like, what did I have for breakfast, trying to help. And I was like, I actually don't know. And I was really forcing myself to remember. And then I got really paranoid. I didn't tell anyone, but I got super paranoid. So I thought they were trying to set me up.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to get kidnapped. The DS have told everyone. Because I think at that point I had definitely had a mirror room,
right?
Maybe, I can't really remember. And so, or I'd maybe gone to the toilet. I don't know. I was like, I was starting to think of like when they had been told to lie to me. So I was like super paranoid, and I felt like really unsafe. And I was like, this is fucked. And then I was like asking questions, and everyone was like, you must have had you can't remember anything. You can't remember. And I was like, no. So that's the concussion story there.
Right.
But I'm completely fine.
Yep.
The doctor took care of me and it was all right. So.
That's all good. So another thing that could be quite hard to overcome is the toilet situation.
Not for me. I found that easy.
What was the specifics of the toilet situation?
Shit,
not your. Because when we spoke to Dev, like part of the show obviously last year, he said it was a couple of holes in the floor in a stall. What is that? Did you? Yeah, that was it.
So you got to throw soil over it if you do a shit.
Yeah.
And then you, I actually, there was, the thing is, one thing I just wasn't going to do, I wasn't going to clean the toilets. I just wasn't. I'm just, like, if I had to, if everyone had done it throughout the week and it was my turn, I would do it because I'm a team player. But I wouldn't go, oh, maybe we should clean the toilets. No, thank you. They stunk. And plus, we were filming after the first series of what they call the civilian SAS.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it stunk when we arrived. Although I feel like they just made it stink anyway. Like, they probably pissed all over it. Like, they'll fucking come in, let's piss all over them. I am not, a prude. So I am happy to use the bathroom in front of people. Like, it was, there's nothing much that you can do. Like, if I was having a poop, I'd like make sure that it was away from everyone. And I also, one thing that I don't want is to just hear the sound of people straining.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to hear the push. Like, I don't mind like the thud, because it wasn't a plop, it was a thud on the ground. I don't mind the thud of the, you know, the stool.
The big pop.
But I don't want to hear you like straining and trying to push it out. Like, you keep that sound effects away from me, cuz but you can't go to the toilet by yourself. You have to go with someone every time.
Why is that? Oh, as in,
because
like,
you, so if you, because you could get kidnapped. So you just have to make sure you're always, and always you have to run to the toilet. You can't walk. You've got to run across the parade. So I chose Brendan Cole as my poo partner. So he's my poo partner. And Nikki was my wee partner. But you could like just go wee for it with anyone. And honestly, it got to a point, maybe like, it was like 24 hours in, and we were like, do you know what? The thing is, because like, you always have to go with someone.
Yeah.
So say in the night you wake up and you need the toilet, you got to wake someone up.
Jeez.
And then it got to a point where we were so exhausted, because we also had to keep watch. So we had a keeping watch schedule. So we'd go up on the tower and we'd note like animal sounds, and the DS would fuck with us, like walk past or throw a rock, and we'd have to go, DS, walk past, or human person, or a torch is shone. And we'd do like all the way through the night. So like from 7 p.m. till 6 a.m. like that's what we had to do. And so we'd all always like wait for someone to come back and go to the toilet. And we were just so knackered that at one point we just put a bucket in the corner of the room, and we'd put our little blankets over us, and we'd just go pee, so the cameras couldn't see us go pee, because we were so tired. We just didn't want to wake anyone up. It's like, just go pee in the corner.
Roughing it. I rate that, man. Standard. Yeah. I mean, but you've just given me like a worst case scenario. And I can't think of any worse time to get kidnapped than when I'm halfway through pooping. That is the worst time to get kidnapped, or for something to pop off.
Like,
you can't even wipe your bum. What if you got to run away with a shitty bum bum?
I would hate that.
So you've got to squelch away.
What about if you were like halfway through that physically?
Yeah, like halfway through a strain and it's halfway out, and you got to choose whether you cut it off, which is not fun, or whether your body decides to suck it back in.
Hang on, how'd you cut it off? Do you have to like clench your bum cheeks and use it as your bum? Your bum is a scissor. Your bum is a poo scissor.
Snip, snip.
Ugh. Do you know what I do? This what? Is going to be rancid. Yeah, if someone tried to kidnap me halfway through a shit, I'd grab the shit and get it in
their
face. Throw
it in their face, yes!
And then leg it.
Yes.
So actually, it's a weapon.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Imagine if you get a bit in their mouth, that'll teach them. Shame.
Yeah. Eat that.
So yeah, Yaz, like, it's... Let's cast it back a little bit, right? So this isn't the first series of SAS Who Dares Wins, or the celebrity version. So you must have known that this is going to be something that's going to put you through the right for it physically and mentally. So when the opportunity came up, what were your thoughts?
Well, I only knew 6 days before I left, so.
Really? I didn't know it was that short notice.
Everyone else had like 6 weeks and 4 weeks. I knew 6 days before I had to go. And it was coming up to my birthday. I had like a Vegas trip booked, and I was like, all right, so... shout out to my trainer Infa. We went hard. He like put 25 kg in a rucksack, which is the weight of the rucksacks that you have in SAS,
right,
or the Bergens, and right, outdoor training. And you get like two pairs of boots that you have to wear in. Like, they're like sturdy walking boots. Mm-hmm. I didn't keep mine, but I see Joey Essex kept his because he keeps running in it. And so I was like running, I was training, I was like in rain, in everything. I actually recorded a lot on camera, and I was actually allowed to bring my camera into, because you kind of get quarantined before you go into SAS, so you don't see anyone.
Yeah.
And so I brought it, and yeah, so the training was extreme, but I wish I did have a bit more time.
Yeah.
But then I thought I could have overtrained, you know, I could have injured myself. It's like loads of things that I could have done. And plus, I could have got my head, my mind could have just gone away with itself. So
exactly, yeah,
six days of intense training with info was all that I could do.
Oh, that's crazy. I respect you so much for that. And within those 6 days, did you give anyone else a shout that had been on the show before? Obviously, Dev, who's at the same, you know, kind of network as you, and you must have a few other mates.
I spoke to Dev and I spoke to AJ. They were both the same, the first celebrity episode. I spoke to Dev and Dev was like, speaking to them just made it even more apparent that I should absolutely do it. There was no doubt that I wanted to do it anyway. Like I was really into it. Like I wanted to properly get involved. And you obviously sit down and you have a meeting to see with the producer and the directors and stuff, and they all have a conversation. And I was like, I'm absolutely up for it. Like I did say, if there was any series that I'd want to do, like that could test me, it would definitely be SAS. And I would absolutely love to do Strictly Come Dancing. But like SAS, I was like, yeah. It's time to level up. Let's do it.
Well, you know what, Yaz, you've been quite impressive. I've enjoyed watching you so far. I feel like you've kept your head down, your chin up, but your head down, if you know what I'm saying. So
I think a lot of people have said that like you kept your dignity throughout, and you'll definitely see in the third episode, like I get to a point where I'm like, fuck, it was a lot. Like that for me, my injuries were just crazy. Like I got trench foot. I couldn't walk for 4 days after the course had finished. Like my toenails fell off, my skin fell off.
So they really do put you through it.
Yeah, but the team really take care of you afterwards. Like really take care of you. It was like physically and mentally. Like you speak to, you know, a therapist, and there is support. That even now there's support for you. So jeez. Yeah, it really gives me a whole different respect, even though I had respect for like people who actually do this in life, put themselves in the army, put themselves in the special forces, the armed forces. Like, I'm like, wow, okay. Like you can't just go back to normal life.
They do it for us as well. But Yaz, Trenchfoot, I know what it is, but do you want to describe what Trenchfoot is to people and how it occurs?
It occurs if you're like, your feet are constantly wet and cold. Like it is definitely a World War thing. I thought, oh my god, I've got trench foot from the World War.
Big like me in 2019
in 2019 has got a 1930s disease. Is that right? Is it the 1930s? I must sound stupid.
I'll let that one run. Yes,
let it run. I should have said like 1933 now. It's not a history lesson. It's a podcast. So I was like, what? Like my feet were like black. That my toenails are black. Like I'm going to.
Yeah.
So Marcus, I'm going to show you a photo.
Yeah.
I've been really hesitant to share this photo, but I feel like.
Is it on your computer? Are you going to share it on Zoom? Or are you going to just put your phone up?
No, I'm going to put it up to the phone because I'm not putting it on my computer. Sorry.
Okay. All right.
So where is it? I have to scroll back to October. It was October last year. That's when we filmed it. Okay, here we go. So this was day...
I'm squeamish.
This was day two after coming out of SAS. So this is... This was the night. So these are what my legs and my feet look like. You're not going to get closer with the feet yet. What happened basically... Because you've been battered for such a long time, like the course was 8 days, and you've been battered for such a long time, you're bruised and you're battered and you're in pain and stuff. But then the next 24 hours when you rest are really crucial because you basically just swell up because your body just goes into like shock and it's trying to protect itself. It's trying to heal. So I wasn't swollen at this point. I was absolutely fine. But these were my legs.
Jesus. Just if you're not seeing the video, if you're just listening to the podcast, they just look absolutely battered. It looks like somebody's just hit your legs, like especially from your knees down. Yeah. So that's almost just hit your legs all over the place. Jeez.
And then this was like me stood up. I couldn't even stand up. I don't know if you can see. That's not really a good one. But so that was the first day. And so this is the new iPhone that I had. I remember phoning my mum and I was so weak that the iPhone felt like it weighed the... like a house. it was a ton, and I was I couldn't move. I was like, I just got into the bed and then just was knocked out. I can give you a little preview.
Yeah, go on. I will describe what I see. I'm very easily squeamish, but
and will I get told off for this? No, because I feel like
it's part.
I'll give you this preview. I don't think I'll get told off for this, but this is because you see what's coming up on the next episode, and it's this. This is a little preview.
Okay. All right.
So. When I finally got home, because
Yaz looking very stoic, by the way, it's a picture of her looking very stoic next to a locker.
So when I got home, I obviously was severely swollen. So this is going to be gross. This is not for any people that have got foot fetish. I actually just want to show my feet now after that because my feet are fine now. But this is a little bit of what trench foot looks like.
Oh my!
Can you see that?
Fucking word!
Can you see
your
that?
Feet? And I can see the swelling is ridiculous right now. So Yaz's feet.
I wonder if you can.
You can't usually when you look at someone's foot, you can see like sinew in their feet or like where or like maybe like some of like where the.
Marcus, look at my toes.
Oh my god, the toes! There's like darkening around the toes. Is that blood around the toes?
Yeah, the toes are completely off, like lifted off, and it's blood.
Oh my gosh! Oh, I didn't realize that. Oh my, she just showed us a bit closer. The toenail's coming up. Oh my.
Yeah.
Oh my god!
This is another one.
Oh, it looks like a. I'm sorry, Yaz. Can I just be real with you? They look like zombie feet.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! So your feet are actually no joke. So trench foot, your feet are actually have been the way they've been treated. Oh my god! The toenail discoloration. It's like, so what I'm seeing is the toenail is, and this is not me taking a piss out of Yaz. If you think of what a zombie's toenails look like in a film, the discoloration underneath it, the foot has been rotten. Wow. But you recovered though,
so
right?
It's rotten foot. Yeah. Then it started to go down a bit. But
okay.
Yeah, I recovered. My toenails fell off. But
what's
now
it like when
fine.
A toenail Can when I, a toenail like... falls off? Does it take a while to grow back? This is presented. Sure there we go. See. That's a normal, an unswollen foot now. Yeah, there we go.
From a foot, I mean, fetish people.
To be fair, To be fair though, the difference between the size of your actual feet in the picture and there, you can see that your feet are like you can see the bones and stuff that make up your toes. So, were you looking down at your feet, thinking, "What the hell have I done to myself?"
Yeah, but you know what? That happened way before. It happened during selection. Like my big toe, the toenail split, but it was still obviously rooted on my foot.
Yeah.
And it just kept like going like this and like bleeding. And it was like knives under your feet. So if you can imagine like that and clashing against the boots, the pain, because the infection was so bad and it was actually in the bloodstream and in my feet now. At night, I had to have my feet up on my Bergy in my bag, and like the pain that was like, it was like I could feel my heartbeat in my feet. Oh, it was so painful. Honestly, I've never experienced pain like it. Honestly, if I do this, and I'll do it again, SAS, but if I do it again, I'm chopping off my toenails, fam. They ain't coming with me. They're not
coming. So you're saying you're going toenail-less next time if you have to?
I'll go toenails. I've done toenail-less. My toenails are fully grown back. Listen, my toenail fell off on a dance floor in Vegas because after SAS there was that fragile. I thought there's no way I can't rip them off. They fell off on the dance floor.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I feel like painful. I've learned a lot about your toes today, Yaz, but also like I've got to say I've got so much respect for you going through it, man. On it we only see a little bit of it, right? We see a bit of the tears, we see a bit of you guys going, oh, that hurts, we might see a bit of blood, but you really went through it, man. And do you feel like you've come out the other side a different person?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Like, I just leveled up in myself, for sure. I'm not, like, afraid to admit that I do believe in myself, but I don't at the same time. I believe that I will conquer the things that I put my mind to, and I am very confident in that. I can see myself in the future, like being very, you know, rich in terms of aspirations, rich in terms of wealth, rich in terms of like love and abundance and things like that. I know that's going to happen for me.
Yeah.
But like sometimes I just don't have the belief that I need. Like there's just like one little part of me, like, and I'm also very indecisive. Like I would just, if someone says like, oh no, like do that instead, I'm like, oh okay, and I'm like, well hang on a minute. So it just gave me a lot more respect for myself in terms of like, you've got this, you don't actually need anyone to tell you to level up, like you've got it, and level up when I'm ready. Do you know what I mean?
For real. Oh yeah, as I salute you, man. I salute you. There you go. Actually, I did it with the wrong hand, right hand. But right, all right. Before we get out of here, should we play a little bit of a game? Let's play a stupid little game just to lighten up the mood a little bit. There we go. So I presume they were saying army words to you, right? While you were there, you had like, would you call them staff? That's what you call them. What they called you by your number,
army, though, Marcus?
Sorry.
Yeah.
SAS, the army, though. Special Forces. Oh, there you go. See, I put my foot in it already. There we go. All right. So Special Forces is not the army. So you were with the best of the best, sir.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
But you must have used a lot of phrases, though, like Special Forces phrases, though, right? Staff.
Staff.
You don't call it a water bottle all of sparking. A sudden. It's a canteen. What was that one?
Is it? I don't know. No, you say water bottle.
Oh, do you call it that? All right, cool.
Yeah, are you going to test me on words that we didn't use?
Yes, I am. Even better, I like it. We've played a military sayings game, and I'm going to give you some military phrases and ask you to pick what you think each of them means. If you get it correct, you'll get affirmative. If you get it incorrect, you'll get a negative. Okay, right. So let's start off nice and easy. Civvy. Is that short for a member of the public that doesn't serve with the armed forces? A civ, like short for a civ, like a civvy, or does it mean to walk? What does civvy mean?
I think it's the first one.
Okay. A civilian. Correct. There we go, Yaz. Scoff, right? Is it to turn your nose up at something? Is it a bit of food or is it falling over?
Turn your nose up. No, it's a bit of food because scoffing, like eating. No. Scoff. Turn your nose off. No, scoffing, eating.
It means food. For example, I'm starving, let's go get some scoff.
I thought, why would someone in the army be bothered if someone turns a nose up at him?
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, fuck them.
Got it.
Right, a wanking chariot. Is it A, a car, right. B, a bed, or C, an idiot?
Idiot.
A wanking chariot. Negative. In fact, so a wanking chariot is a bed. It is a bed, yeah.
Disgusting.
Yeah. I mean,
one did that.
Shout out to... Well, you got. Well, if you're taking a shit together, surely like a quick.
Nah, I'm sorry. No, not one person put their hands down their pants. If they did, like, I need to get that footage.
They get. They become a stealth.
That sounds weird.
They did. I need to get.
I don't mean it like
HD
that.
HD footage.
Little Jack Maynard, send it to me. No, I'm joking. Yeah,
man. But surely they should win an award for like sniper shot. Doing it while no one's noticing. Right, anyway.
Oh my god.
Here's another one. To get, was it get all your shit in one sock? Now, if you say get all your shit in one sock, does it mean get your life in order? Does it mean pack up quickly because we're going out? Or does it mean take a quick shit because we don't know when we'll next see a toilet?
Pack all your shit because we're going quickly.
It actually means.
Is it take a shit?
I really wish it was. It actually means get your life in order. If they say get all of your shit in one sock, it means get your life in order. But I like taking a quick shit. All right. Right. Anyway, a cake and ass party. Is it a party where soldiers stop off at the shore and they let, you know, meet their other halves or they meet a new lady? Is it when something has gone bad, usually a mission or being messed about? Or is it C, a really easy mission? So is it when a mission goes wrong? Is it a really easy mission? Or is it when they stop off and have a little bit of, you know, a little bit of fun and shore?
I think I actually think it might be fun on the shore, but that's only because I feel like cake means ass. Like, so cake and ass. Or cake
and ass.
Like, you know, like you eat the cake, like. But maybe, I don't think it is that, but I'm going to say when you meet your boo thing on the shore.
When you meet your boo thing on the shore. It actually means, Yaz, when something has gone bad, usually a mission or being messed about. That's a cake and ass party. One more for you.
I would like a cake and ass party. That doesn't sound bad to me, but okay.
I feel like if you type cake and ass party into Google, the internet being what it is.
Type it into YouPorn.
provide many pages of content for you with Cake and Ass. There's some, I mean, shout out to Swarms' IGTV.
Let's wrap this up so I can go Google that.
Right, to bug out. Is it to get mad at something, to get confused at something, or is it to get away from something? Bug out.
That sounds like an American phrase, doesn't it? Like a, hey dude, like you're bugging out for.
What
like
you bugging when out you for, get, man?
When you get like mad about something, like wild about something, yeah.
So you think it's getting mad at something, right? All right.
Yeah, negative.
Get away from something. It means move from the current location as quickly as possible, usually if under attack or impending a bad situation. There we go. Oh, we've all learned something today. Well, just that we'd be all right at the doing. It's just Cake and Ass Party. That would be a little bit of confusion. Be like, that was a right Cake and Ass Party. Yaz would be like, where's the cake? Where's the ass, man? But SAS, Who Dares Wins a Celebrity Edition is on tonight, the night this episode comes out, and every single Monday night. We can even wrap up the show with another trailer for it if you want. Because do you know what? I will say this, though. I feel sorry for Joey Essex because they kind of used his 3 million follower thing that he said, right? On Twitter
constantly,
and I feel like they asked him, can you just tell us how many followers you got on Twitter and Instagram? And he said it, and the way they put it, it's like he's on, hi, I'm Joey Essex, I've got 3 million followers on Twitter and 1 million on Instagram.
Joey's used to it, he's been in those situations often, exactly. I do believe so. He's exactly. made a stone.
Exactly. Right, Yaz, before we do that though, and we get out of here, can you let us know where we can find you on the social medias, please?
It's just Yasmin Evans. That is all, that like everywhere is Yasmin Evans, and it is Yasmin. There's no E on the end. People get mistaken because Evans starts with an E. But yeah, no, that's it. Yasmin Evans.
Bless. Yes. And you can find How to Kill an Hour across all your social medias. And I'm Marcus Bronzy, MarcusBronzy. There's plenty of ways to kill some time out there. I've been Marcus Bronzy.
I've been Yasmin Evans.
Yes, I'll see you at the Cake and Ass Party, right?
Yeah, let's get it.
If these celebrities turn up with an ego,
no!
I've got 3.3 million Twitter followers.
They won't last 24 hours.
Get in
the They think they know what's coming. They're going
to
have the absolute shock of their lives.
Celebrity SAS Who Dares Wins returns Monday at 9 on Channel 4.